Hello there.
Blog Talk Radio.
How are you? I am wonderful this fine day. Back on the air and ready. I don't even know if I want to do my intro music, yes or no. I am Amos A. Nunn. I am the incognito, the black fact checker, back online, ready to go about discussing the agenda, our goals, current events, and do we have a lot of current events? What is going on? Folks, I nearly missed our outbreak, our pandemic. And then I realized that it was taking a back seat to an assault on, again, one of us, resulting in our death. And as the incognito from an undisclosed location somewhere in the United States, the Black Fact Checker, I gotta say, man, it's just business as usual here in this country. Now, for being absent, I want to give the excuse. I want to tell you that we've built a Twitter account, a GoFundMe, a YouTube, a Pinterest, an Instagram, a Reddit, a Tumblr, a Patreon account. We have our website. We are on what we hope is the precipice of something that is big. We were on an upward path and found we were lacking a lot of the platforms needed to make this successful. And so we took a pause and decided, hey, let's build all the platforms needed to make a successful go of this and also ask for donations, which we have done. And we thank those folks that have donated to us. We are grateful to them. So, been gone, but I'm back. You can call me. My number, guest call-in number, is 319-527-6069. Again, I am Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the incognito. And some people kind of ask me, they say, why incognito? Why don't you want to kind of make yourself known? Why be anonymous, which is the play on Amos A. Nunn, just so that you folks know. Amos A. Nunn is just a play on the word anonymous. And so the answer to that is simple. First, I talk plainly. I check facts. Some of those facts folks may not agree with. But more importantly, I have what I consider not a solution, but at least a move toward progress that may be lacking. I don't think the leaders that we consider leaders would take kindly to my strategy, to my thought process and what we should do. I'm aware of that. And instead of putting myself out there, I'd rather remain anonymous and make a go of this and try to inform folks, let them know the skinny, the 411. We back everything up. We check, we recheck, we do a whole bunch of stuff here, make sure that what we're delivering is a quality show. Got a few folks behind the scenes who have increased our talent, and one of them is Doug Rice, who is my executive producer, who I do thank for bringing his marketing expertise in this arena. Perhaps that change, that breath of fresh air is what was needed to give us the loft and take off. Again, to all those that have donated and kindly given their time building websites and making sure, these things are taken care of. Now, after that, giving due attention to those who deserve it and credit where it's due, we delve into it. We delve into it. Well, folks, it killed another one of us. Brother begged for his mother as they as they kneeled on his neck, took his life, took less than 9 minutes. Today we have his funeral. Yesterday we had a viewing. Still have black men being killed, black women being assaulted. Still have black children being chained and handcuffed and put in back of police cars. It's still happening. Whether you are familiar with our show or not, we also adhere to the agenda. And, you know, the agenda, that gives us a platform, the acronym, of course, Association Geographically Enslaved Negro Descendants of the Americas. I know not everybody agrees with that, but we had to come up with something. Our website, AmosAnon.com, kind of explains who we are. I invite everybody to go. Again, we have three principles. The three simple principles are simple. They're separate, educate, do no harm. Now, take what's going on these days, for instance. You see what they think of us, how they consider us. You understand the mental, you know, orientation when they see us. This guy, I looked at the video of this man's obvious murder, and you know, some things you really want to unsee, but you have to look at for history's sake. And we see, you know, what has been the common theme throughout history and throughout our time here in the United States. As I've said it, you know, we are nothing more than released captives. We are enslaved, released captives. That's all. Formerly enslaved, currently released captives. And we're just, you know, we're kind of wandering the countryside trying to make a way for ourselves in a country that doesn't want us here, a country that was not built for us in the strictest sense. They talked about all of these equalities and life and liberty and all these things. They weren't discussing people of color, people with melanin. They were talking about people devoid of melanin, white people, if that's a thing. I don't even know. But the three principles separate, which means not in a way that involves malice or that involves animosity. This is something, in my estimation, that needed to have been done when we were first released into this country's countryside. And it's important. We need not only a place to feel safe amongst ourselves, but to feel comfortable enough to police ourselves, to commit to doing no harm to each other, educating ourselves about our true past, not about the past that they hand us, which stops usually off a slave ship. There's more to this story. And so we would educate ourselves. The next core principle of the agenda is educate. We're going to self-educate. We're going to do the math ourselves. We're going to come up with the summations and kind of do the 1+1 historically and see what we come up with. That's not a difficult task. It just involves a lot of study. And again, you know, it's a principle that does not involve any kind of malice, any kind of conflict. It's education. It's the education that we have to have for ourselves, by ourselves, with ourselves, about ourselves. And of course, lastly, the third and final principle, I think the most important, do no harm. Real simple. Do no harm. You know, we have to commit in this country and elsewhere to really not hurt one another. I've seen the statistics. I know black-on-black crime. I know black-on-black murder statistics. You know, has nothing to do with what they've done to us. There's a reason that exists. I've gone over it before in the past. I know I have. And so when we take the stance that we would no longer harm one another, we can disagree, we can have arguments, we can be angry, we can all the things, but everything comes short of doing any physical harm. And that would be something of a more personal oath kept, a commitment. It doesn't matter how angry we get, we have commitment to this principle, to do no harm. You and I come from the same place, and we are a rare commodity. We're an endangered species, not in number, but just in existence. And so those three principles govern the agenda. We're trying to also establish not just the association, but a community. Because not just because we need a place of our own, not just because they have communities that we are barred from entering, but also to establish our own self-worth amongst ourselves so that we don't have them and their opinion bearing down on us, their expectations of who we are and how we should act and all of these things. And if we could remove that influence from within our community, I dare say that we would improve dramatically. I say that police, that whole term needs to be removed from our vernacular. We shouldn't have police. And the reason I say that is real simple. Okay. Cops, police are nothing more than slave catchers, slave patrol, reinvented. That's really all they are. And so I would more or less like to call them sheriffs or deputies. And these individuals would have to live in our community. And I'm not talking about, you know, the protective way that police are existing nowadays. You know, most of the cops that patrol black communities live so far away from the communities that they patrol, not simply because they're scared shitless, you know, they just choose not to live in the environment they police. Would you not ask a police officer, why don't you just live out here? And I bet their first answer is they wouldn't live out here. The matter is, you know, these guys, by policing, they're simply carrying on the tradition of slave catcher, slave patrol. That's it. The commodity is no longer cotton, it's prison industry. So, you know, anyway. Another story, another show. So we're back, folks. Calling number for guests is 319-527-6069. I'm going to try to do this, you know, every day for an hour, give you our look on what's going on, some of our sources, some of the things that we use to inform, one being The Root. I like that source. It's a good, solid source of information. I recommend everyone read The Root. They talk about things that, in my estimation, need to be talked about amongst us, by us, for us, which is why I think it's important we have our own communities. When we have our own online communities, it seems to work well. We can get the news regarding things happening to us unfettered from sources that have our best interests. At my goodness, I'm looking at news right now. I've got white men in New Jersey mock peaceful protesters by reenacting George Floyd's death. This from The Root. Group of angry, loud, and wrong white people must have thought it was Angry, Loud, and Wrong White People Day when they decided to stage a disgustingly insensitive counter-protest during a peaceful march during which, you know, against police brutality and systematic racism over the death of George Floyd. So they reenacted his death. I'll let that sink in, because that's pretty ballsy. That is pretty ballsy. Again, this is Amos A. Nunn. I am the Incognegro, the Black Fact Checker, on an hour every day, usually from about 9 in the morning to 10. Call-in number, 319-527-6069. I mean, it's not about, you know, what we should talk about. It's what can't we fit in a 60-minute segment. I look again to the president here, the United States, Donald Trump. What a winner this guy is. A perfect reflection of those who love him. And I dare say a perfect reflection, true sentiment of this country. Blacks have lived here for so long, getting such a short end of the stick that we've become accomplished or to it. Some take pride in the things that they're able to do with that short end of the stick. I did not misspeak. Reason I say that, I mean, we've got some that take pride in the fact that they could take advantage of the social systems that support folks in need. You know, can get over on all these systems. And not that I say that inherently there's nothing or there's something wrong with what they're doing. They have to survive. But think about the mental state, the slave mentality. I tie that into all the things that we do as Black people in this country, from the things that we eat to going to church every Sunday. All of this reflects a slave mentality. It's what has captured us. I'm not simply talking out of the side of my neck. I've checked on these things, and believe me, we are still inherently affected by our time, our ancestry's time, as slaves. It's still in our DNA. It's why we talk loud. It's why we do the things that we do. Who we are as people is, I think, undisputed. Folks that know what we hold as truth here, we know, as most do, that we are Hebrews, the true Hebrews of the Bible. Now, that being said, this is not a religious movement. This is not a religious show. There may be religious talk on the show. As if I could only go as far as saying, and we are Hebrew and keep it there, I would. There are so many different topics that we can discuss, but we can also discuss that at a future topic. But the fact that remains that what is occurring, what's happening to us, this repeat of history, is not just something that we experience, point by point. There's a playbook that they're using that they've used before to get folks elected, and it involves rioting, it involves protest, and in the 60s or 70s with the Nixon administration, he used protests to get reelected, and Donald Trump has the same folks in the White House that used that strategy in the 70s against the folks who were running against Nixon, and it worked. One other thing that was pointed out is that it probably will work again. So there we have that. Welcome to America in 2020, folks. It's why I consider one of two strategies, I think, the most important. Either, you know, get completely as far away from them as you can without being rude, or simply expat, go somewhere else. I'm looking into Ghana. Ghana seems interesting. I don't know that it would be something to commit to, but for goodness sake, the option is wait for these folks to get in each other's faces so that change occurs, because us screaming at racist white people will not change their minds. I think it's important that everyone understand that. when we protest, when we riot, when we do all these things, and the media covers it all and, you know, puts it on TV, I just can't envision an individual who has racist sentiment suddenly changing their minds. Not going to happen. So the only thing I can surmise that might change our circumstances is nearly impossible. And that involves the folks who look like the folks who are racist. In other words, non-racist white people must get in the faces of racist white people and simply get to a point of really putting the work in. And that's really it. That to me seems the only, in my opinion, the only solution. So there you have it. There you have it. I don't know how long something like that might take. I don't know how long someone would have to be in the face of another person in order to change their mind about racist sentiment that they've had from generation to generation, handed down to them from parent to child. That's the reason, while that occurs, we need to steer clear. We need to give them the space needed to make the correction we expect. While they correct their people, we then need to correct our own people, because as I'm sure you know, as you've heard me in my other broadcasts and my other podcasts say, black people imitating white people in this country is what's killing us. And I don't care how you accept that. I've gotten into a lot of arguments with people about that sentiment, the one that I hold, that I think is fair game. When you stole a people from their land and took them here, horrendous journey, and then got those people here, stripped them of their identity, renamed them, famous scene in Roots, guy getting whipped because he wouldn't call himself by the name given him by his white slave master. So all the things that we've done as a result of our enslavement. And it doesn't excuse what has occurred in any sense of the word, no violent behavior. None of that is excused because of this. But cause and effect and the reasons these things have occurred in our community exponentially, the pressure of the ongoing and kept economic strife and hardship within our community to maintain their status quo, which is their most important strategy, keeping us, impoverished, keeping us in a manner that doesn't threaten their existence. You apply that pressure, group those individuals together who don't see a way out. Of course, they're going to eventually, there's going to be a pressure cooker. Now, how are they going to act? What example have they been given over the past centuries? The only example we've been given on how to react to any amount of stress is from them. I can't really express this thought any differently from anyone else. Well, we have a history. Our history predates our enslavement. But the problem is that upon arrival, we were stripped of that identity through threat of death, handed another identity and told to carry on. Upon release into the wild, we were then given no instructions, nothing, and hunted down to be recaptured to put now in a new form of slavery and called imprisonment. We've had Jim Crow, the new Jim Crow. We've had Reconstruction. All these things to somehow deal with the black man. It's almost like it's interesting to be in this situation in this country. And today's reaction, how folks are reacting today around the globe due to one act, this man's death, is a testament to how I think the attitude is now getting severe. But to what end? I guess that's my issue. I look at the same things that have happened with ADOS, Black Americans, you know, Black Lives Matter. Same thing happens over and over again. Somebody gets killed, somebody marches, you know, and it's, you know, it's an over and over deal. But, you know, after everybody gets tired of marching, everybody goes home. Nobody does anything. We have to take action. And I'm not talking about overt action. I will not, nor will I ever endorse overt violent action. That is that's a no-win situation. Just giving it to you the way it is. The only thing we can do to preserve and protect ourselves until history unfolds, I'll just put it that way, is gather amongst ourselves, to gather together, gather in, you know, together as one, if you will, as a single nation group, displaced group within this country, and create our own communities, create our own police force, our own banking systems, our own everything. I'm not going to say we deserve. Nobody deserves anything. That's what is available to us if we move in that direction. And the issue that we have with the agenda community and the agenda, the issue that we take with, you know, folks that have the means is, why haven't they thought of this earlier? That's all. Once folks understand the need to have our own communities, perhaps these well-to-do Black Americans will pool their resources and simply bring a community of Black people together and let it grow and let it expand. We offer the agenda community, the agenda, as a way of doing it. We, in our own minute and minuscule effort, is underway. I mean, we just want to, we want to see change. We understand what's coming. Most of you understand my inference to that. We understand what's on its way, and we have to be prepared for it. And we cannot prepare ourselves intermingling and trying to kowtow and to the enemy, to the folks that oppress us. This is simple math. ABC, you know, equals 3, if you will. Okay, simple mathematical alphabetization, if you will, folks. Come on. And you, if you look at it from a point of view that says, well, you know, are people that have benefited from our enslavement and our being in this country and benefit from having our dollars spent primarily on their own endeavors, funding their own wealth, that transferable wealth that goes from them to their children, can you ever expect them to allow us to gain that kind of momentum so that we have that wealth? We have that generational wealth that we can pass on to our children. The very thought of Black people having that kind of wealth threatens white people in this country. That's the reason I'm Amos A. Nunn. That's the reason I'm the Incognegro. Because that's what I see when I check the facts. This is what scares them the most. Equal footing. We've seen it in Tulsa. We've seen it in the 60s. We've seen it, you know, shortly after slavery, when Black Americans owned a vast amount of land in this country. And slowly and over time, that land was taken away from us. Now we own less than 1% of the land in this country, the country that we helped build. I might add, I recently saw a clip of Martin Luther King, and it regarded, you know, the effort that Black people in this country put toward trying to better themselves. And Martin Luther King, during the end of his life, began to see a disparity between the experience that whites have had in this country and the experience that Blacks have had in this country as slaves. And what he saw was as blacks were released into the country without any guidance or any support, just, you know, nothing. Immigrants came to this country and were given land grants, universities built to teach them to sow and seed the land and get and cultivate from it. That generational wealth, those thousands upon thousands of acres given to single families, has been passed down from the early, late 1800s and the 1910s and 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, New Deal, all these things. And these folks that come from other countries like Ireland and Poland and all these countries that come here benefit from being immigrants, given loans to open businesses. All the things that they're able to do are banned when it comes to black empowerment. And I used that word specifically, which is why I hesitated. Banned. They give every excuse why you don't qualify as a black American in this country for the very same endowments given to immigrants. It's been happening for years. And so while you see immigrants come here, do well, talk about the American dream, the only thing black men and black women in some instances, but black men primarily, we know who the target is. It seems their only focus is to make sure everybody else gets, but black men have to be kept on a short leash when it comes to financial opportunity, wealth. And I'm not just sitting here whistling Dixie, folks. I mean, this is the truth. So, again, this is Amos A. Nunn. I am the Incognegro, the Black Fact Checker. I'm back online. I've been out away for a while. I've been away trying to make sure I'm building a good brand. I think that we have the topics that folks want to talk about. It's almost like starting over, but I feel fine. Guest calling number 319-527-6069. We are live on the air right now, so I give anyone the opportunity to give us a call. Folks, we're at a crossroad. We're in a space that I don't know what the outcome may be. I'm not really sure. But I can tell you it's a road that we've traveled before. It's a road that, in my estimation, ended in a circle. If you want to talk about the civil rights in the 60s, it seems like we are right where we started. I mean, right there. And now the question is, who is going to take the lead in getting things accomplished? And it's not that anyone is applying for any position. It's not that, someone feels that the ego-driven machinations of men to take the lead is something that lies within me. It is not. I want to be as incognegro as possible. And I know that you guys, when you listen to the show, you'll hear that sentiment in my voice. It's very, very important. Just went through some technical difficulty. I'm looking at somebody move some things. I'm trying to tell to wave them off. So again, folks, listen, I decided either I can talk the talk or I can walk the walk. I can be mad and upset and shake my fist at my cell phone or my computer screen or at the TV. I can yell and scream about Donald Trump and about the Republicans and the Democrats who are equally as vile. or I can offer something that says, hey, at least give us time to regroup and consider our next move. Let's not keep repeating the same steps that got us right here where we are now. Dead man. List goes on and on. I'm watching all these different news outlets, and one of the things I see them doing is they're kind of giving a list of how many black men have been killed over the years. 99% of police officers involved in deaths of black men in this country do not suffer an arrest, much less prosecution. That's fact. That's not me just blurting out information. 99%. That's a big number. So 1,000 police kill 1,000 brothers, one of them will go to jail. Come on. You know, that's, well, excuse me, 100, one of them go to jail. Didn't mean to go that far. So my point is, I mean, I think it's time that we seriously consider taking up our own communities, taking up our own financial endeavors that involve us. I think of FUBU, which I don't know what happened to. And I just consider it almost it's something that drives me to do this. And so we have established a GoFundMe account. We have established a Patreon account. Our monthly budget is under $5,000 a month to keep this content rolling, to keep the podcasts going, to keep the blogs going, to keep it in our ear, the solution we feel is most ready to be implemented. Separate, educate, do no harm. Again, this is Amos A. Nunn. I am the Incognegro, the Black Fact Checker. I'm back online. Coming to you from an undisclosed location somewhere in our land of captivity. We suffer from, a great deal of Stockholm syndrome in this country as black people. I think we've lost sight of the fact that we are not only not welcome. I mean, you need to consider this, folks. In the country that we help create, we are not welcome here. That's really the first thing. Not that they let us go anywhere, because that amount of money they're not going to let leave the United States. But that's first. And second, the country wasn't created or built for us to be welcome. Those are two very important factors, I think, are prime in offering the solution of separation, of gathering amongst ourselves. The second solution involved the principle of education. Just educate ourselves about ourselves. I think it's an inherent danger that a group of people that have suffered the amount of psychological damage black people have suffered in this country, generational psychological damage. I think it only fitting that as opposed to being spoon-fed the information they choose as fact regarding our history, that we do research into our own past, find out, what our past involved pre-slavery, and see which way that rabbit hole takes you. That's just, I offer that as another thing to do, folks. That's my reason for being here. I'm not offering leadership in the strictest sense. I'm not trying to be a front man for anything. What I'm saying is we need to separate, we need to educate, and we need to do no harm. That's it. We need a community that we can do that in while we allow time to pass. Now, and that to me is as vague as I need to be, as detailed as I need to be, and as vague as I need to be. Also, what we do in our community needs to be kept to ourselves. Why is that such a big deal? They have secret societies. It's not that I agree with secret societies or their existence and what they might accomplish against us. But confidentiality and what we do and the moves that we make as black people in this country should be kept to ourselves. It used to be that black people in the 60s would have meetings. I don't know if you guys remember that. Some of those meetings were, you know, spied on by the FBI, Herbert Hoover. You know, some of those meetings were, I think, threatened with violence. Yes. So the reason I bring that up is because it's imperative that we have something that they consider so dangerous that they want to listen and do damage. It's time, folks. It's time. It's black Americans, and I'm talking about ADOS, American Descendants of Slaves. I'm talking about the agenda, the Association of Geographically Enslaved Negro Descendants of the Americas. That's what the acronym, the agenda, stands for. And the reason it's been created is to reach out to those individuals located throughout the world, but primarily in the Americas, and say, wake up. Maybe it's time we need to do something different. Maybe we need to kind of congregate amongst ourselves, keep to ourselves, plan and make a strategy that involves our well-being and our preservation, in no way reflecting any animosity toward anyone else. But it's time we started looking out for ourselves. And while we do so, we hope you take the time to straighten out your house. You know, we got a lot of cleaning up to do. We got a lot of things we got to take care of. And so, that being said, perhaps we need to take some time and separate. Perhaps it needs to be a structured, perhaps strategized effort of attitude and distance. So, you know, and for folks that listen to the podcast and say, hey, man, you sound like a racist. No, I'm not. What I am is a realist, and I read it. I'm on all the social media platforms and the news platforms that give me a very good picture. I don't just talk about this. I'm looking at white people assert themselves in public places. Young woman somewhere in Phoenix decided she wanted to pretend to be a manager of a store and tell a young Hispanic, I believe, or Native American Hispanic woman to, you know, get out of her country and don't serve her. I'm a manager. I work here. Didn't work there. Got in the young lady's face. Young lady slapped the taste out of her mouth. Why is that happening? Why are white men beating black people with chains because of music played by our children? That happened about 2 days ago. When will it end, folks? And the only thing that I can see even bringing a slight halt to the mayhem is our absence. That's all. Just don't be where they are. And you know, there's nothing wrong with it. And let's come together. Let's plan something. Let's plan a community. Listen, because time, history is coming at us. Time keeps ticking. We need to be in a certain position as time moves forward. We have to have at least our stuff together. How about that? I'm Amos A. Nunn. I am the Incognegro, the Black Fact Checker. Back online, back here after a long hiatus, putting together all of our social media platforms, our informational platforms, maintaining the program as best we're able. We've developed a GoFundMe, a Patreon. If you want to donate to our cause, feel free to do so. Simply email us, amos@amosanun.com. And if you have any questions, info@amosanun.com. The guest call-in line is 319-527-6069. And again, I do this as kind of a way to not only inform, but to say things that I think a lot of us are thinking. And I think that time has come, my estimation, that we do something different, that the strategy become different, and it shouldn't involve marching. It shouldn't involve protest, and definitely no riots. Screw the riots. Riots are just non-productive. But I tell you what will be productive. Our absence, not being where they expect us to be, and if not physically, mentally. And I say that to say, you know, in their presence, be somewhere else. And that's not, you know, a difficult accomplishment. That can be done. In their presence, do something else. Be somewhere else. Because if there isn't something done, what's going to happen is eventually it's going to, what? It's just going to stay the way it is. I don't really believe in a race riot. I don't think that that's going to occur. I think that's kind of a high hopes for the right. I think there's no race riot on our future, folks. I mean, the first time Bubba sees some guy in the Army, in the National Guard, take out his buddy's head, splits his melon wide open. You know, they're not gonna, you know, there's not gonna be any uprising. It's gonna be done. And it's unnecessary. Loss of life, all of that. Let's just get away from each other for a little bit. Figure out what we can do to improve each of our situations and condition. Let's take the time to do that. I think it would be productive. I think that folks would benefit and lives would be saved. I don't think that we need police in our communities. I think we need sheriffs and deputies in our communities. Sheriffs and deputies are folks that live amongst us and our arbitrators when difficulties arise. A little different from policing a community. You don't have to police a community. If people don't feel they need to be policed, then don't police the community. And see what happens when you give people the ability to protect each other, gives them the ability to make sure that I'll be taken care of, and we're going to put down organizations that may try to, you know, overtake or threaten this kind of peace, if you will. It can be done. There are people that want to live in peace. You can find those people, and those people may want to relocate into a community where the three principles are what govern it. Separate, educate, do no harm. So if you live in a community that is committed to nonviolence, to doing no harm to an individual such as yourself who has the same history that you have, you know, he's got the exact same history, your parents, your parents' parents before you, all back to slave ships, all back to the abuse, the murder, the lynchings, the rapes, the mayhem, the KKK. You know, if we all focus on the experiences that we've suffered, that our ancestries have suffered, the ancestors, excuse me, have suffered, and we all congregate into a community with the commitment to not harm each other out of respect for that shared and common history, I think we could make progress. That's what the agenda community is determined to accomplish. That's the community that we're looking to accomplish. And let me say, I don't think it'll be difficult. Let's try something different. Let's do something and let's see if we come with a different outcome. I'm sure most of you have heard me over the past year before we had this hiatus and understand where I'm coming from. We are in a dire emergency state. Black people in this country right now are in peril. And if you think that rioting or uproar or marching is going to somehow change our circumstances, that's not going to happen. And just in my opinion, with 9 minutes, under 10 minutes left, I think that it's going to eventually harm us. I think that if we take a step back and say, hold on, let's do this differently. Let's gather to ourselves. Let's gather amongst ourselves. And if I have to say it, which is why I remain anonymous, to the exclusion of people that don't look like us, we need to gather amongst ourselves. And that's not to say that if you are married to someone that doesn't look like us, they're not, that's stupid. If they don't look like us and they're for us, then they're with us. So it's more than just a physical look. I'm sure everyone understands that if we've got folks that are behind us 100%, of course, you know, our community is open to anyone. But we know our target audience. You know, we're not, we're not going to become what we hate. But it will be an agenda-led community. It'll be an association of geographically enslaved Negro descendants of the Americas led organization and community. Because we need this. Again, this is Amos A. Nunn, the incognito, the black fact checker from an undisclosed location somewhere here in the United States. Check out our Twitter, which is at ADOS Agenda. Check out our Instagram, our Pinterest. We have the bases covered, folks. Our break allowed us to create a Reddit, a blogger, a patron, a Tumblr, a GoFundMe, our website, our YouTube account. You know, listen to us, you know, donate to us, keep us afloat so that we can bring this information and keep our eyes open. And again, not simply to hear ourselves talk, Amos A. Nunn, we also bring the offer of at least the beginning of some progress, not a solution, just something different. We bring the agenda, the Association Geographically Enslaved Negro Descendants of the Americas. And yes, I know some of you don't agree with the acronym. We had to come up with something. We have three principles. Again, I'll repeat them. They're real simple. Separate, educate, do no harm. That's all. Simple. That's it. It's three. That's it. It's not a religious organization. It is an organization for our protection and preservation, a safe haven for people who are ADOS. And in my estimation, the quicker we get this established, the better. The quicker we get it established, the better. I don't know if all of you are kind of taking it all in at once from all the different sources that are available, but there is a persistent pattern of abuse and attacks on black people in this country and elsewhere. We seem an enemy of the world, and for no other cause than we are black. If there's some sense to be made of that, then someone please call in. The number is 319-527-6069. Let me know what's going on so that I may know and share it with you. Because they've been at this, folks, for a long time. I mean, they've been at this for a while. I know everyone knows this. This oppression, this assurance that we stay just so in this country, economically, socially, you know, just so. And now they've killed another one of us. You know, it's not Freddie Graves, not Tamir Rice. It's someone new now. And the riots and the protests and the marching. Okay. And eventually they're going to kill someone else. Maybe that person will be standing in their backyard with a cell phone. Maybe that person will be sitting in their bedroom, minding their business. And they come in, they have the wrong house, and they come in and they kill you and shoot you in the back, you know, nine times. This is black life in America. And if you don't hunker down, lay low, and stay away from these folks, you could suffer the same fate. You can't be out there. And we got to have a solution because we all want to be out there. So the only solution is that we create a community for us, by us. That's the agenda community. That's the agenda. I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Incognegro, the Black Fact Checker. Check out my GoFundMe. Call me, 319-527-6069. I mean, you know, I've got 4 minutes left. I'm trying to figure out what needs to be said to wake all of us up en masse and simply get it. You know, acceptance of a thing is the first step toward either improvement or avoidance. It's not about, you know, your friends who are white that smile on your face every day and see you at work. It's not about the folks that pass you on the street and nod at you and smile and say, hey. It's about the folks that secretly have a conversation on, you know, on Zoom, and they talk about black people referring to us as niggas and, you know, give all kind of racist sentiment. It's those people that secretly decide to put swastika tattoos and drawings on their arms and put them online. You'd have never expected that person to be someone you need to look out for. But see, you have to now kind of understand they're out there and they're amongst them. Now you have to ask yourself, what's really going on? And the best thing you can do to protect yourself, your family, your very life, in my estimation, let's at least have a place that we can go to get away and be amongst ourselves. Even if you don't stay, at least a place, a safe haven, Black Haven, we'll call it, the agenda community. And what we'll do is we'll call it Black Haven, and it'll be a specific ADOS-only community where we can, you know, where we can do the things that need to be done to get a community in order. Sound crazy? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's required, and I think it's doable. I want to thank you for at least tuning in, hearing what I have to say. I'm going to try to get an episode every single day. Tomorrow's episode, again, will be at 9 o'clock from 9 to 10. I appreciate the support that I have received, and, you know, I've been looking at some of the folks who have decided to drop in, say hello. But as this is a way for me to get back in the swing of things and you hear my voice kind of going out, I'm Amos A. Nunn. I am the Incognegro, the Black Fact Checker, back online and ready to at least, you know, at least give it a shot. I don't just want to talk the talk. I want to walk the walk. So look for my blog, look for my next program. I appreciate the support. Again, email me, hit me up on Facebook, hit me up on Twitter, and tune in anytime to listen to our back episodes, which we have quite a few of. Okay. All right. So AmosANunn.com is our website, and that's AmosANunn.com. Go to our website, see, these guys are telling me how long I've got. Go to our website, check us out, donate to our GoFundMe. I appreciate your time. I appreciate all the things that you guys have done. And you guys have yourself a great rest of the week. Keep your head down and keep, folks, please, keep yourself safe. I do thank you for tuning in. Bye-bye.